I look at a breathalyzer. It's a little box the size of a cell phone. It has a little straw on the end, and you breathe into it.
During oral arguments in April, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer describes a portable device that can measure the amount of alcohol in a person's blood.
And what you breathe into it is carbon dioxide, which is going to go into the environment anyway. You're not going to keep it. And moreover, it takes place quickly, so the evidence hasn't disappeared. A blood test, you have to go somewhere else. There is risk involved. Time elapses, so you lose some of the evidence. And it's painful in some instances. So I immediately think, isn't there a difference?
Breyer directs that question to Charles Rothfeld, the attorney representing three men who question the constitutionality of their DUI arrests. Rothfeld contends that when it comes to getting a warrant, there is no difference between blood and breath tests. It's the Fourth Amendment that lays out the right people have to be secure in their homes and their persons, and that warrants have to be supported by probable cause. Over the years, courts have sorted out certain circumstances when a warrant would not be necessary before a search is conducted. One is if officers have to enter a building quickly to assist someone inside. Another is if a crash site is chaotic and officers don't have time to get a warrant for a blood draw. Breyer clarifies that point to Rothfeld.
There's no such thing as an exception to the Fourth Amendment. The question is whether the Fourth Amendment requires a warrant in these circumstances. And it seems to me if it does, then you win.
Actually, Rothfeld won some, lost some. The opinion, issued in June, says blood tests require warrants, as established 3 years earlier in McNeely, but breath tests after arrest do not, and a driver's refusal to consent can be criminalized. Justice Elena Kagan summarizes the court's analysis that allows a warrantless search of a person's breath.
Well, I think that this would be based on the notion that it's necessary to preserve evidence, plus the notion, which Justice Breyer suggested, that this is about as uninvasive as a search can possibly be. And so that given those two things together, that it is useful to preserve evidence and that it is extremely uninvasive search, that we can assimilate it into the search incident to arrest doctrine.
In the majority opinion, justices agree that getting a warrant for every breath test would be cumbersome. But they say blood tests are different. They're invasive, requiring skin to be broken. Blood contains information such as DNA that goes beyond evidence of intoxication. And so a warrant is required if a driver refuses to give consent. In oral arguments, North Dakota is represented by Thomas R. McCarthy, an adjunct professor at George Mason University. He tries to argue that in North Dakota, it's too difficult to get warrants for either blood or breath tests. His argument is not convincing, as evidenced by the exchange between McCarthy and Justice Anthony Kennedy.
In North Dakota, in the larger jurisdictions, where there's a little bit of a quicker process where they use more telephonic warrants and the arresting officer can go directly to a magistrate in those systems, my understanding is it typically takes about a half an hour to an hour. But in the smaller jurisdictions where it's more rural, where it's oftentimes harder to get somebody on the phone, and there the process is different. The officer has to go through a prosecuting attorney first and then to a magistrate.
Why is it harder to get somebody on the phone in rural than in a busy city?
I think a large
number of people in the rural areas were sitting waiting for the phone to go.
McCarthy tells justices that getting blood from an uncooperative arrestee puts officers and medical personnel in danger. That fact, combined with the difficulty of getting a warrant, makes it easier and safer just to charge the arrestee with the crime of refusing to give consent. Justice Kagan responds.
In large part, it's a lack of resources and manpower. There's not as many people available to cover all the times, and so
that excuses you from a constitutional requirement. We're now going to bend the Fourth Amendment, which I always thought started on the presumption that we favor warrants. We don't disfavor them. But since many jurisdictions seem to manage it, we give a pass to North Dakota because it doesn't want to.
It doesn't affect the way that we've been doing things in Pennington County.
Mark Vargo is the Pennington County State's attorney. He says since the 2013 McNeely decision, the warrant process has been streamlined.
Pennington County was the leader in the state in instituting a process of electronic warrants. That has allowed us, with only minimal delays, to get a warrant if a person is not willing to consent to a blood test. And so ultimately, it should have absolutely no impact on how we're doing things here.
The process Fargo describes relies on computer technology that is available statewide. Officers send a PDF document to the judge asking for a warrant. If the judge approves, he or she sends the warrant, again in a read-only PDF format, back to the officer.
Our telephonic warrants had to be transcribed within 10 days. The number of warrants that we did made that transcription extremely difficult. Now everything is memorialized in writing. There's nothing additional in terms of paperwork. You get it signed later, but there's nothing in terms of additional paperwork that has to be done, and certainly not the huge numbers that we would have had to do in terms of transcription. So that's why the electronic warrant was so important in responding to McNeely.
There's a lot of language in state DUI laws and federal opinions referring to situations that occur after arrest. For instance, the Birchfield opinion specifies that a warrantless breath test is justified by the doctrine of search incident to arrest. And South Dakota's implied consent laws, still on the books, apply to chemical tests an officer tries to obtain from a driver who is under arrest. But Vargo says this doesn't mean that an officer won't ask for a driver's consent to a test before an arrest is made.
An officer can ask for consent at any time. So in theory, the officer could ask you to submit to a blood test, and you would have the right to say no, but you would also have the right to say yes, much the same that an officer could ask to search your home or your car, whether or not they have probable cause. But the key is to remember that it's then up to you. You can say yes and you can say no. Our constitutional rights are the ones that were afforded, but we have the right to waive them as well.
Certainly a search warrant can be issued prior to an arrest.
Rapid City Attorney John Murphy often defends DUI arrestees in court.
And all the requirement of McNeely is that if you refuse as a suspect, that the court issues a warrant. And there's no requirement under the Fourth Amendment that a warrant happen only after arrest. And in fact, I would say that the vast majority of search warrants are issued in the investigatory stage prior to arrest.
Murphy says the sum effect of the McNeely and Birchfield decisions is that officers have to use a different procedure when compelling a blood test rather than a breath test.
And so that's where our statutes lump things together in a way that no longer is constitutionally sustainable.
Murphy says South Dakota laws haven't been rewritten to reflect those differences.
So often in our criminal code, we use the term chemical test or chemical analysis, and that phrase incorporates breath, blood, and other bodily substances.
He says those differences were spelled out in the McNeely opinion. The criminal justice system didn't need this year's Birchfield decision to know that South Dakota's implied consent laws are largely invalid.
After McNeely, what's clear is that those statutes do not apply or cannot be made to apply to the withdrawal of blood or the withdrawal of other bodily substances other than breath.
Murphy says Birchfield reinforces McNeely's message that it's unconstitutional not to distinguish between those tests. The electronic warrant technology adopted by Pennington County is available in all circuits in the state. If law enforcement officers, prosecutors, judges, and magistrates across the state develop procedures that follow the dictates of the U.S. Supreme Court, then South Dakota's outdated laws are just outdated. But if certain jurisdictions cling to the old system of doing things, which is still supported by state law, the appeals courts will have to continue to work out the bugs. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.